On today's episode is the father and son duo of Irv and Frank Lev. They've just gotten back from busking together in downtown Youngstown. Frank on saxophone and Irv on, well, let's say vocals. What sets this duo apart is that the lead singer, Irv, is 100 years old. A former Air Corps vet who flew combat missions on D-Day, Irv went on to earn a degree in mechanical engineering from Berkeley. He then returned to Youngstown to join his father's construction company, which he expanded into a residential development business. But those would not be the last homes Irv established in Youngstown. After retiring at 65, he went on to help sponsor over 600 Jews fleeing Russia into Youngstown, Ohio, and parts beyond. An avid bridge player who's lived an extremely distinguished and honorable life, Irv Lev and his son Frank are from Ohio. All right, Irvin.
I'm ready.
Irv, you've been ready for over 100 years.
That's correct.
All right, so listen, tell me a little bit about the father and son act. Like, Frank, what instrument do you play? Is it saxophone?
I play saxophone, yeah.
Okay, and then what's your... And Irv, what do you do? What's your part of the show?
I hum. he's being modest. He sings. But it's, you know, he's not a trained singer, so he's kind of scatting. You could call it scat.
Oh, he's scatting in downtown Youngstown. You know, there's so many interesting aspects of your life. One thing I'd like to start out with is, being that you are 100 years old, not many people we can ask this question to. Tell us a little bit about Youngstown in its heyday of, you know, the 1930s and 40s, although there was a big steel strike, I think I remember, when my dad was born in 1937. All the steel workers went on strike. But what sort of early memories do you have of Northeast Ohio at that point in time?
Youngstown was a lot busier at that time. Classes were busier. The schools, I thought, were quite good. And
how about downtown Youngstown? What was it like?
Downtown Youngstown, occasionally we walk all the way downtown. Occasionally we take the bus down, but there wasn't much that we did downtown, actually. There were things we did with organizations, you know, like, for example, the Jewish Center. That was something that was in where we were involved at that time.
How about your mom? Did she go downtown Youngstown?
My mom went downtown only to go shopping once in a while to get Jewish clothes, Jewish food and stuff like that.
You know, Irv, I'd like to ask you a question about your mom and your dad. Tell us where they came from and why was it that they ended up in Youngstown, Ohio from Europe?
I can explain that. My mom and dad came here. The Jewish people were coming. My mom and dad both came here separately. They didn't know each other, from Russia. And they were both Jewish. My mother more so than my dad, actually.
When did they come over?
They came over, and as far as I know, in about 1913.
Okay.
My dad would have been maybe 23 years old. My mom, 21 years old at that time.
Yeah.
My mom had family here, relatives, and my dad did as well. My dad had two sisters who came here and eventually went to, my dad came to America and then somehow, probably by bus, came to Youngstown because he had two sisters who lived here. My mom gradually came to Pittsburgh, had family there as well. And then eventually, they hitched up by going through matchmakers. My dad went to Pittsburgh and matched up, didn't know who he was going to be matched up with, but that's what happened.
You were involved in a very, very, very famous part of history, and that was D-Day. You were flying missions on D-Day, and I understand you've got a couple stories to tell about that. So what can you share with us about what you remember from that day?
Well, I can just reach out for the memory that I had. I do remember on one particular day, we went to the group that we had that would meet before we would take off on a mission. We didn't know what or where, but we would go to this group and we'd sit there and listen to people tell us what to do and when to do it. And it was like a briefing that we were given, and we were, a guy got up, an officer would got up and said, "This is it, this is the big one." And everybody waited for a minute, and then it came out and gave us information on where we were going to go and why we were going to go there and what was it we were going to try to do. And everybody was sort of, oh my God, scared to death.
I was
and
gonna
what we were told to do.
Right.
Were was
you,
to,
how did you feel, Irv? Were you terrified? Were you scared? What did you feel?
No, I wasn't scared. I was, oh my, ooh, isn't that scary? Mm-hmm. Oh boy, we're gonna go and it's gonna be a lot of weaponry against us and stuff like that. So we were concerned about it. But once the thing started, that was the big part of it. It wasn't a big deal. We went over, dropped our bombs where they told us to drop them, turned around, and came back. And we had another raid. We went loaded up and went back again. We had two of them in one day, and the place where we bombed was right across the channel.
Because that generation went through the Depression, and they were tough, and they appreciated things. They appreciated the life that they got, and I think other generations just had it handed to them. This generation had to fight for it.
Right.
That's my personal. What do you think about that, Dad?
What do you mean by fighting for it?
Well, you went through the Depression. You didn't have anything, and then you had a better life, and you appreciated it more than, you know, kids maybe.
Well, that's true, because that was when the time came when I graduated from college,
high school,
I mean, and I wanted to go to college, but I couldn't because there was no money in our family whatsoever, and so I found myself some kind of a job. I don't remember what it was, but I worked for a year. And when it was time to go to school again, I made the decision that I would go back to school and not work anymore.
And you dropped out of school to enlist, is that correct?
I didn't drop out of school. The United States government says, "Come on, boy." So after about 3 months in Ohio State, I was dragged out and started my program into the United States. One of the biggest things I had at that particular time is I didn't want to get in a situation where I would go into Asia and get involved with the war over there. I thought, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
And I said, one's enough. And I went looking for things that I could do. And one of the things was going back to college.
And you went to Berkeley. You got a degree in mechanical engineering. And then from Berkeley,
that's correct.
You returned to Youngstown. and you join your father's...
Well, not exactly like that. I started looking for work to do after being at Berkeley.
Yeah.
I was going to graduate pretty soon. And I wanted to look for things that I could do that would take good care of me. And I wanted to take advantage of whatever there was available for me. My dad was worth starting to work. Things were, because of the situation in the United States, things were starting to get built up again.
Yeah.
And there was a big boom coming on. And I talked to my dad, said to me, "You know, your brother," he said, "was going to work with me, and then he decided he wanted to take on work on his own and not with me." And my dad was telling me about it, and it sort of hinted that there might be, maybe I could come back to Ohio, Youngstown, and help my dad. And I talked to my wife about it, and we discussed it and made the decision to go back east to Ohio, and that's what we did.
Yeah, and you built a lot of homes around Youngstown, I understand.
Well, so I don't know how many, somewhere around 600 probably.
Yeah. And then tell us about sponsoring the Jews that were released from the Soviet Union around the time that you retired at 65. So sometime in the
about the time of my retirement, I had gotten involved with Jewish organizations more. And at that particular time, I was in my mid-60s, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
And I connected with the Russian Jews that were, I don't remember all the details, but we brought about 600 Jews, mostly Jews, from Russia, came to America, were brought over on with all, I don't remember all the details, but that's what we did.
And you helped
and
them.
I got involved with that, and I spent almost 10 years doing that, getting the Russian Jews, mostly Russian Jews, just a few that weren't Jewish.
Right.
And that was it.
And Irv, what did you do for those Jews? Did most of them come to Youngstown, and what were you able to do for them?
We took people that were scheduled to come and brought them to Youngstown, and we found homes for them, and we went out and got jobs for them and got stuff. And the first ones that came to Youngstown at that particular time, there was I don't remember their name, but there was a group of five, and I remember five came to our house, but there was no other place yet to do it because it came very quickly that there were the opportunity to bring the Jewish people from Russia to America. We brought them here, and altogether there were about 600 of them came. It grew and grew and grew, and we worked for about 10 years doing that.
Wow.
And didn't work anymore. And we were in decent enough financial shape that we could do that.
Right. For someone who's given service to the country, who has had developed businesses that have become successful, someone who's been very generous with their resources and time in helping the Jews assimilate into America, if you were to sit down with someone of the new generation, what piece of advice would you have for them for living, you know, a very long and fulfilling life?
Well, I would probably think of the way it was for me and say, hey, this is the way I thought it was, and this is what I thought had to be done.
I guess and what then, you're really saying is if you see something that needs done, do it.
That was the way it was.
Right.
That was number one. Right.
Well, this weekend is Father's Day, so I have a question both for Frank and for Irv. What are the two of you planning to do for Father's Day?
Father's Day, the big deal on Father's Day was buying my dad a cigarettes, a box of cigarettes, or what do you call it?
A carton.
A carton of cigarettes.
Right.
Ten of them.
Ooh, yeah, and
that was a big deal.
All right, guys. Well, look, I think it's been great to have the opportunity to talk to you, Irv. And Frank, have a wonderful day with your 100-year-old dad on Sunday.
Okay. Thank you very much, Phil. We enjoy talking with you.
Okay. Good talking with you.
All right, Irv.
All right.
Give my regards to Youngstown.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
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 And that'll do it for this episode of From Ohio. We'll see you soon. In the meantime, give us a follow on Instagram at @from_Ohio and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.